Dave and Fionnuala.
With Tesco.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
With the Cheltenham Festival happening this week, there's a huge buzz around horse racing and betting, and it can feel like gambling odds are everywhere. But gambling can come with serious risks if it isn't approached carefully. Former Armagh footballer and recovery advocate Oisín McConville knows that better than most. After struggling with a gambling addiction earlier in his life, he's become a leading voice in Ireland in raising awareness about the dangers and helping people understand how to gamble responsibly. He joins me now on iRadio's group chat to talk about the reality of gambling, the pressure that young people are facing during big events like Cheltenham, and what we should all know about staying safe. Oisín, thanks for joining us on the show. I know you've been very open about your own experience with gambling addiction. What were the early warning signs that things had become a big problem for you?
Well, I suppose I walked into the bookies at 14 years of age, had a 50p to a bet on the Grand National, so I wasn't going to break the bank immediately, but something was very attractive about the bookies for me. And initially it was probably just the noises. You know, when I went to bed that night, I could hear the commentary, the race and the hustle and bustle that was in the bookies. And then I thought about the possibilities, the easy life, the easy money. And that's exactly what I seen. I didn't think about any of the warning signs. I didn't think about what the negativity of the whole thing would have been. So it started off with small money, and I suppose by the time I was 17, there was plenty of warning signs there, because whether it have been pocket money, birthday money, Christmas money, part-time jobs, whatever it was, I never had any money, because every time I got some, I gambled it. And I always thought, well, if I can get my hands on a little bit more money, I'll still gamble the same way, but I'll have a little bit left over. But that actually never materialized. Every time I had money, the more money I had, the more money I gambled. And by the time I was in my mid-20s, I was in the midst of a serious gamble addiction, compulsive gambler, compulsive liar, affecting every part of my life, as far as, you know, work, relationships, sport, family life, just everything. It just impinged on everything. So there was plenty of warning signs along the way, but when you're in addiction, it's very, very difficult to dig yourself out of it, because in order for me to do that, I would have had to have admitted to some other person that my life was a mess, and there was too much bravado and too much pride there, and I couldn't find it within me to do that, you know.
What was the turning point for you eventually in you reaching out for help and improving your situation?
Yeah, because a lot of people would say to me, you know, fair play for holding your hands up. But to be honest, in the end, I didn't feel as if I had a choice. You know, it felt as if the walls were closing in around me. As I say, a massive breakdown in relationships, family, family ties, you know, couldn't hold down a job, and financially I was bankrupt, emotionally I was bankrupt, there was people chasing me for money that I owed, you know, I borrowed money from loan sharks, and to be honest, the pressure just got too much in the end. I just couldn't handle it, and I decided that now was the time to go on and ask for some help. And when I did pluck up the courage to do that, the help came very readily and very quickly. And obviously I have huge regrets about not asking for that help a little bit earlier, but that's where I was, and I just have to accept that that's where addiction brought me at that time. But it was very difficult to change my thoughts, because I always thought my life operated through the prism of a bet. So if I was going to be in good form, it was going to be through, you know, going into the bookies and winning some money. If I was going to turn my life around, it was you know, being in the bookies and winning a large amount of money, pay off all my debts and start my life all over again. Whereas in actual fact, like, I know now that that was never ever going to happen, because as a compulsive gambler, nothing was ever going to be good enough for me. There was always going to be another bet. And I suppose in October 2005, I had my hands up went to my brother and sister and told them that, you know, I had a serious issue. And a week later I was in a treatment centre in Galway, and I spent 13 weeks in there and started to learn about addiction, because, like, I had no idea, really. You know, when somebody said to me, the first person that said to me was I was addicted was Sister Concilio, a nun who runs the Coonmurra houses, and when she said that, I didn't really understand. And the really reason why I didn't understand is because I thought, even at 29 years of age, that somebody who's addicted had to be laying on a park bench with a bottle of wine and a brown bag around it, and that wasn't the case for me, because I was still functioning in some way. But believe me, I was in the midst of addiction, and I soon learned that I wasn't just affecting myself, I was affecting a lot of people around me as well.
Addiction can present in so many different ways. That image that you've just described there is one that a lot of people would refer to nearly when they think of it, and for you to have then got the education and understood what was happening with you was really important, and I imagine went on to empower you further now to be an advocate. And for younger people at the minute, I'm sure it's very prevalent for many. Gambling ads can be all over social media and during sports coverage. Obviously, Cheltenham's on this week as well, so it just feels like everybody's talking about bets and tips. How much of an influence do you think that's having on young people?
Yeah, well, I think young people are enticed into it, you know, largely through advertising. And I think everybody would have to admit that the advertising when it comes to bookies is quite catchy. Sometimes a lot of our sports heroes or entertainment people we see in entertainment are the people who are promoting the gambling companies, and therefore it makes it very enticing. It looks very harmless. And don't get me wrong, like, I'm not on a crusade to stop everyone from gambling. For a lot of people, it is quite a harmless pastime. But I suppose what I'm here for is I'm here for those people who, like myself, can't handle it. And there's a lot of vulnerable people out there who can't, who have tried to arrest it and stop it for at certain times and have been unable to do that. But I actually think a lot of the advertising right now is targeted towards young people. And as you say, you know, that's through the medium of mainstream media and also a lot of social media as well. So, like, we have never really got to grips with that. It's like a runaway train at this stage, you know, the advertisements say the things, and how many, the change in demographic as far as the amounts of people that we have now introduced to gambling. Like, if you think of gambling, if you think of a bookies 20 years ago, the demographic was probably lads between the ages of 20 and 60 or whatever it was. Like, that has all changed. People are starting to gamble much younger. A lot of female gambling addicts now, a lot of females who find themselves in bother and find it really difficult, you know, to reach out for help because that stigma is still there around it. And I do think that because of the change in demographic, because it's so accessible, I mean, I'm talking about walking into a bookies. I mean, like, really and truly, like, the majority of people now don't walk into a bookies. They gamble at home, they gamble on the phone, they gamble on the move, they can gamble at any time. So it is so accessible, and that makes it two things. That makes it very accessible for those who maybe haven't had access to it before, but also makes recovery and getting away from it that bit more difficult as well.
I know you mentioned there, it's not that you're on a crusade to stop all gambling, you know, because there are many people that can gamble safely as a pastime. Yeah. But what does gambling safely actually look like in practice? You know, gambling responsibly.
Well, I think it's you know, you realising that there's a certain amount of money that is expendable to you, and trying to stick to that. And some people come to me all the time and they say, listen, I enjoy gambling, I don't want to stop. Well, why are you sitting in front of me? Well, I'm sitting in front of you because I want to reduce the amount of gambling I do, which is a very, very difficult thing to do if you're in addiction. But if you're not in addiction, and you say, let's say somebody says to me, well, actually, my expendable income that I can gamble is £20 a week, for example. and you put that aside every week and you try and stick to that. If you find yourself consistently going over that, then chances are you have, you know, an issue around gambling. A lot of people don't want to be called a compulsive gambler or addicted to gamble or whatever it is. You don't have to put any label on it. You can put whatever label on it you want. But the big thing for me is that to try and to keep to that, for a lot of people who want to stop gambling, see if you can stop for a month. Don't put too much time on it. Start with a day, start with a week, start with a month. See if you can stick to that. If you can't, as I say, then you probably need to reach out for further help.
If you could introduce a change to make gambling safer in Ireland, what would that be for those people particularly at risk of developing a gambling addiction?
My utopia for this whole thing, to be honest, and I've thought long and hard for many years, would be that to not let anyone gamble under the age of 18. Because I started gambling at 14, okay? And by the time I was 17, I was already in the midst of an addiction. That is a recurring theme with the people that I speak to day in, day out who are in bother. One of the things they'll say to me is, look, I started at 15, started at 16, started at 17 or whatever. You're not really making an informed decision at 14 and 15 and 16 years of age. And you are very vulnerable at that stage. And I think if we could get people to 18, that would be a brilliant starting point. Now, that sounds very simple. But it is quite difficult in practice because, as I say, there are gateways into gambling that maybe weren't there in my time through, gaming, that sort of thing. So we've already introduced a lot of things in society revolves around having a gamble, you know. So as I say, I don't want to stop everybody from doing that, but I do think that the most vulnerable in our society are the kids. We have a responsibility, but if we can get people to 18 and then they're making a more informed decision, I think that would be a brilliant starting point for us.
It is worth noting that the legal age for gambling in Ireland is 18. But as you mentioned, there are a lot of, it's so prevalent now everywhere. I can see that a lot of the people that you would have spoken to with their own personal experiences of this would have somehow experienced it a lot younger than that. Do you think that schools and sports clubs and youth organisations should be playing a role in educating young people about gambling then? So if it is a thing that it's likely to be impacting people younger and younger now?
Oh, definitely. I think, you know, we all have a part to play in particular education. I think it should be part of the curriculum at this stage. And do you know what? Like schools, I understand schools are standalone. So if they want to do something about it, you know, they have carte blanche to do that. And a lot of schools do a lot of stuff around gambling and addiction. And I think that's brilliant. But I think for every school that does it, there's probably 10 that doesn't. And I think that's what we're missing out on. And I think that education piece is something that, you know, should be more organized, should be something that, you know, that whether it be at transition year or fifth year in the north, whatever it happens to be, that is mandatory, that people at least, you know, understand the thing that you asked me at the start, you know, the warning signs, the negativity around it, and where it could possibly lead you.
If there are younger listeners tuning into you this evening who might be hearing all of this hype about Cheltenham and other things, what message would you want them to remember about gambling going forward?
Well, just that, you know, that for every 8 people that start gambling, one will gamble compulsively. So so you may be one of those 8. Let's hope you're not. But I think a big thing is that when you have that first bet and you're predisposed to addiction or doing things to the nth degree, I think there is a possibility that you could be one of those. And if you feel as if, generally speaking, my rule of thumb is if you feel as if you are one of those people, then, and or you are questioning whether you have a problem or not, well then if you're questioning it, there probably is something in that first and foremost. But if you want to try, you know, reduce the amount of money that you're gambling on, think of what your expendable income is, think of what you can afford to gamble every week, and see if you can stick to that. Okay, and if not, try and stop. And if you can't stop, then you need to reach out for further help. I mean, like, I'm an ambassador for gamblingcare.ie, and there's a 24-hour helpline there. There's free counselling. It's all free and available to you, you know, when and if you need it. That includes family members of a loved one who's in bother as well. So there is help, and there is agencies out there, you know, and the help, if you stick your hand up and you say, listen, I just need a bit of a dig out of my bolly. You don't have to use the words addiction or anything else, but if you are in a bit of bolly and you need a bit of a dig out, then that help is readily there for you. But the thing I would say is, if you feel as if you are going to gamble, then proceed with caution, because there are so many people who, as I say, like myself, who start off, it's pretty harmless, and all of a sudden you find yourself in an addiction, and it's quite accelerated when it comes to gambling. That can happen pretty quickly.
Oisin, thank you so much for all of that this evening on iRadio's group chat, and for sharing your thoughts on this, and as a brand ambassador as well, who has been there. And I look forward to chatting to you again sometime on iRadio's group chat.
Thank you.
Dave and Fionnuala
with Tesco.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.